This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Thursday, which feels like Friday morning. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Tammy Schrantz from Stephenville, Texas. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July the 3rd, episode 948. And this episode is brought to you by Road to the Horse. Good morning, Horse World.
Founded by Tootie Bland and her late husband, Stephen, Road to the Horse has grown beyond what they or anyone else involved in its humble beginnings could have ever dreamed. This unique competition brings together three of the world's top trainers and clinicians, where over 2 days they will gentle a horse in adjacent round pens, while thousands of fans relish every moment. Combining education and entertainment, Road to the Horse is truly a one-of-a-kind event.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to our monthly edition of the Road to the Horse coverage here on the Horses in the Morning show. And, of course, we welcome back our good friend, Tammy Serrance. How are you, Tammy?
I'm good, Glenn. And no matter how many times I hear that introduction all about Road to the Horse, I get excited every time.
Yeah, I think once you've been there, yeah, that's exactly what does happen. You hear that and you go, oh. You know, you can feel the arena.
Ooh, I wish it was tomorrow.
Well, Tammy, before we get into all of our show here today, you know, for those that don't know, Tammy is joining us once a month, the first Thursday of every month, to talk about Road to the Horse. Tammy works with the organization that helps with the marketing for Road to the Horse and the vendors and things like that. And she, you know, was previously co-host of the Western Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network and is a world champion shooter, mounted shooter. We call her the most dangerous woman on horseback. And, Tammy, if all of that falls apart and your life goes to hell and you need a place to work, I've found a new job for you.
Awesome. That would be now, security for me, Glenn.
Well, have you ever waitressed before?
No, and you know what? Oh, well, I do think I'd be terrible at it, but I really think the people would be great. I'd love to meet people every day.
You actually would, except for the being totally klutzy and probably dropping drinks in people's laps, I think
totally
it'd be great.
Forgetful.
Yes,
totally
exactly.
Forgetful. Like, who has what?
There's a place called Shooter's Grill, and it's located, get this, I'm not making this up. This is real. It's called Shooter's Grill, and it's located in Rifle, Colorado. Now, there is no better place for you than Shooter's Grill located in Rifle, Colorado. And it's a burger joint about 180 miles west of Denver. But they really do embrace the firearm culture. And with menu items such as the M16 burrito, the Smith & Wesson grilled cheese, and the Locked & Loaded nachos. But not only that. They have gone a step beyond, and apparently when it was first started, this single woman by the name of Lauren Bobert, she's 27 years old, was a little concerned because she's single and is, you know, out in the middle of the nowhere,
yeah,
Colorado, running this bar, so she started carrying a pistol, and, you know, just for self-protection and so she can get robbed. Well, apparently some of the other waitresses thought that sounded like fun, so they started carrying pistols. Now everybody that works there is armed. They're all carrying their guns to work. And there's a picture, which is really funny, of all of these very pretty girls that work at Shooter's Grill carrying their rifles and pistols and apparently come heavily armed to work. Can you imagine if you're a burglar that decides, you know, you're just wandering through the area, know nothing about Shooter's Grill, and stop in to rob the place?
Oh, my gosh. You'd come out looking like Swiss cheese.
That would be one very bad day.
Oh, I gotta tell you. That would be one of those world's most stupid criminals you see on TV.
And I got to tell you real quick, we used to live in Lexington, Kentucky, and I saw this story yesterday, speaking about criminals having a bad day. I saw this story yesterday. There was a big pawn shop that's along Route 4 in the bypass that goes all the way around Lexington. You've probably passed it. It's a big pawn shop. And apparently there's been these guys in Lexington that would go around with baseball bats. They walk into pawn shops and to jewelry stores. They don't say a word. They're wearing hoodies and masks and stuff. They walk in with baseball bats. They smash the glass cabinets, and they take the jewelry and leave. They just don't say a word. They just go in, smash, grab, and run. Well, they went into yesterday. Three of them went into this pawn shop. By the way, don't do that with pawn shops, because guess what? There's a lot of guns in pawn shops. Well, they went in there.
Yes, that's just a really dumb choice.
Yeah, well, the owner was armed, and apparently the manager of the store was very calm. They came in, they smashed, they started grabbing Rolexes, and he just casually walked over to the door, locked it, pulled his gun, and forced them all to lay on the ground. And then apparently another employee or two grabbed a shotgun, and they held him there till the police arrived and arrested him. So that'll be the last time
that's
they do
awesome.
Smash and grab. And I know.
Wow.
I like that story. Let me advise you, too, never to rob Tammy. I realize all her bullets are blanks, but they do hurt when you're shot up close. Just saying.
Well, yeah, and that's what I think when I'm in my living quarters by myself, Glenn. I have my guns with me, and if I'm by myself and if I'm in a fair or something I don't feel really comfortable, I will load it with blanks and put it next to me, and I'm thinking, okay, if somebody comes in, they at least think they're going to be shot for the first 5 seconds. Because I actually had one discharge into my hand in 2003, and it blew two of my fingernails off. And it was the most terrible pain I've ever been in. I had a problem with one of my blanks, and it was cracked, and it chain fired into my hand. It was just a really bizarre accident. But I know how much that hurts. So I thought, okay, if I fill my pistol up with blanks, I'm in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, still, it's still black powder. It's coming
out
the end of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that was the latest from Lexington, Kentucky. Jennifer, did you have something?
Well, you know, if that same story had happened in Florida, because Florida is the stupid criminal capital of the world, it would have gone more like...
I wonder why that is.
Yeah. You know, it's true. It would have been the pawn shop owner got the gun out, locked the door, and then promptly accidentally shot himself in the foot. That's how that would have been.
And if it would have been in Texas, the pawn shop owner would have got the gun out, went over, locked the door, and shot all three of them in the back. And then that would have been the end of that. So,
how would that same news story go down in different states? That's very funny.
Yeah. In Massachusetts.
Yeah, I think the Texas one, the guy's wife would probably have guns, too.
In Massachusetts, the pawn shop owner would have handed the gun to the criminals because he would have felt bad for them. That's what would happen in Massachusetts. All right, let's continue on. How many more states can we insult this morning?
Well, I don't know. We haven't gone to Australia yet.
They would have got an alligator out. That pawn shop owner would have got his alligator out, put him by the door and said, okay, go ahead. All right, Tammy, what's coming up on today's show? We have a bunch of guests, don't we?
We do. We have some Road to the Horse wildcards on coming to join us, tell us a little bit about what they're up to with their 4/6 gelding that they're training. And James Cooler from North Carolina, he's going to join us, and Dan Keene from Texas. And then we have Trevor Carter. He's also from Texas. So they're going to come and update us on how their journey's doing. And so I'm really curious to see how their new colts are getting along.
And I know Dan Keene has some other fun, not just Road to the Horse, but some other fun things that projects he's been involved with we want to ask him about. Let's just say one of them involves a movie. So we'll chat with him about that. What have you been up to since we talked last? Have you been competing or?
I have. I've been competing, and I've won some and I've lost some. I had some horse problems going. I've had one of my horses that I was training, my number two horse, my backup horse. She just didn't seem really comfortable lately. So I took her out to the vet, and I said, she's not lame, but I want to lame this exam, just to be sure. And I thought it was going to be nothing, and it works out that this mare has a lot of arthritis in her stifles, and I was just devastated because I'd put about 2 years into her getting her to this level, and she's just starting to win for me. And I was crushed. So I cried for a week, ate chocolate cake for the weekend. So I've been horse shopping, and you know how exciting horse shopping is with your really bad ads. I've seen a lot of really bad ads.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I saw one last night. This horse is sore in his back knee, but otherwise can run good.
Other than that being lame thing, the horse is fine.
Yeah, and I'm like, back knee. Are you referring to the hock or the stifle or back knee?
Now,
okay.
Are you telling me that not everybody is honest when they post Craigslist ads?
Well, you know, I was having that same conversation with my farrier that came out, who I just love. Well, he came out and I said, look, Tiny, I've been looking at a lot of horses lately, and yeah, and these aren't $2,000 horses, Glenn. I mean, these are $15,000 horses.
Mm.
And I go up there, and they're dead lame. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That you're asking this? You think I'm stupid, you know? So I was talking to my farrier, and he was like, oh, my gosh. He said, you won't believe. We can have an owner that has a horse with navicular, and it's padded up, and it's wedged up, and it's got all this stuff on its feet so it stays sound. And he said, they'll come out to us and say, hey, someone's coming to look at the horse tomorrow. Can you take all that stuff off and just put a plain shoe on for tomorrow? I'm like, He said, I get asked that all the time. He said, you'd be shocked at some of the things people would ask us to do. And I just can't believe that.
And, you know, I guess they count on the people who are not like you, who are experienced. They count on those people who are not experienced. But then you don't have too many not experienced people going out and buying $15,000 horses.
Well, no.
Oh, you'd be amazed how many people do that.
Yeah, maybe.
I was trying to sell I had a Dun Gelding that I was trying to sell. He was a really nice horse. He was beautiful. He was cow horse bred. I was only asking $2,500 for him because he was a project for mine that I realized I didn't have time for a project horse. People would email me, and I said, look, I want to tell you, I've seen him weave in the stall only one time when he was really stressed, and I want to tell you he's narrow in the chest, and he's a little wide, and his front feet are a little small. I'm like the worst horse seller ever. I'm like, Tammy, do you have to tell him everything? But at least I got him sold, and I feel good about it, and so I'm like, they didn't even have to come out and look to find problems with the horse. I'll let you know everything that I think is wrong with the horse. I'm like, he likes his left lead more than his right, but you can get him in the left. I'm like, this is not your job, Tammy.
It's good to know your limitations, Tammy. It's good.
I know. And people would email me, Glenn, and they're like, well, does he spin and does he change leads? And I'm thinking to myself, people, this is a $2,000 horse. You're lucky he's sound.
You know what we found through the years is it's easy to sell the 2,000 under horses. It's easier to sell the $20,000 and up horses. It's that in-between middle area that just is a pain in the butt. It really is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
That's right. That's where most of us are at. And it's because I think if things are, you know, if you're under that amount, it's like, I can take a chance. I'm not going to be as picky. If you're over the $20,000 mark, you can just afford to buy whatever you want and you can risk it. But if you're in that middle area, you have to make your money count. You've only got that $2,000. If you blow it, you're not getting another horse. And I think that's where the problem lies.
That's exactly where I'm at, Glenn.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep, exactly.
Because I have this shot to buy this one backup horse, and that's it, one shot. I sold my really good horse that was too tall for me, and that's the money I'm using to buy, you know, my next backup. But, you know, you're looking for your next world champion, and I just don't want to make a mistake, you know.
Right. And, well, you know what? I mean, obviously we're in horses that anything can happen after you buy them, too. But we at least try and start off with a sound one. That helps.
Exactly. That helps. And I actually, my horse that's crippled on me, she's a little Hollywood Dunnett mare. She's gorgeous. And she was sold to me. I should have known when I bought her because I wanted to vet her. And the lady said, well, someone's coming tomorrow, so either you buy her now or you don't buy her. And I mean, I should have known, Glenn. So I was like, oh, I'll buy her. And I think it was like $6,000 to $7,000. Yeah, well, it took me 2 years to really put enough stress and wear and tear on her to see that she was getting sore. And then we took x-rays, and you could tell that it'd been like this for a long time. But so I kind of got the wool pulled over my eyes once. So I'm going ahead, and I'm breeding that mare to Handsome's daddy. So that's what I've almost I've got one more shot at it before the end of the season, and then I'm done. So, but I wasn't looking for a broodmare, Glenn, but now I have one.
Well, that's interesting. I bet you our first guest would have something to say about this whole conversation about horse shopping as well. So why don't you introduce James for us?
Is James on the line?
Yep, we're ready to go.
Oh, awesome. Oh, good. I love James. James was a wild card with us in 2014 for Road to the Horse and competed at 14 with his gelding called Deuce. And he's coming back for Road to the Horse 2015. So he's a wild card with a little bit of experience from Summerfield, North Carolina. So good morning, James.
Good morning, Tammy. How you doing?
Good, good. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hey, James,
were you
just
listening
talking
to
about
our conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah, about horse buying?
a little bit, yeah. You got. I caught on the tail end when you said that the x-rays after a couple of years of stress kind of being removed revealed some issues, but I didn't catch exactly what the issues were.
Oh, it's crippled, that's all.
Oh.
You know, James, what we were talking about is that there's three price points for horses, it seems, that we found. There's the under $2,000 and the over $20,000 and that in between the two. And that in-between seems to be the area where it's the biggest pain in the neck for the seller and the buyer. You know, it just... the cheaper ones are easy. The over $20,000, those people worry about it as much. But, boy, we have to make our money count when we're spending $4,000, and that's the only horse we're going to buy in 10 years.
Yeah, I can certainly relate. You know, you see it a lot. I think people just get in positions where, you know, they're either working on a budget and, you know, they're trying to get the most bang for their buck. And, of course, if you're familiar with the training side, you put a lot of money and effort into those horses. So they're trying to extract as much of that out as they can, and so I think that's where you get that gap from. That and you do see that a lot. Unfortunately, a lot of my clients come from folks that buy, you know, a cheaper horse, and they tend to have behavioral problems from training that perhaps was rushed or just inexperienced horses, things like that. But I certainly agree. And the higher dollar horses, you know, of course, they have a lot of polish and shine on them, so I think that's why folks who can afford it certainly don't have a problem going in that direction.
So do you have any horse buying tips for us, James? Not that we'll talk about your wild card horse.
Oh.
But if you were talking to a buyer and you had to give them a couple of tips for looking at a horse to buy, what would you tell them? Not to put you on the spot.
Sure. Oh, I suppose to be a little creative, you know, I would ask the owners to get a plastic bag or a tarp out and shake it around the horse. I'd ask them to show me a walk trot canter, you know, in whatever headgear that they use. Of course, I would analyze the headgear. I would analyze the way the equipment that they're using fits the horse, because if it's been ridden in ill-fitting equipment for a long time, that's probably going to lead to some potential issues. You know, so those are the big two things. I just like to see how they've been handled and maybe get a little bit of feedback on their natural disposition. And that tells me whether it's in a good place or whether if it's not in a good place, we probably have some wiggle room and can get it shaped up before too terribly long. So off the top of my head, I guess those are maybe two things I try to take a look at.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about you coming back for the wild card for the second time. Do you think that going through the process once has given you a little bit of an advantage to kind of know what's coming up?
I it would be hard to say no. I know there's more than one of us that have been through it once, and any time you've done something and you get the opportunity, you know, that's the biggest thing is just being thankful. You know, I get to do this again. We had so much fun the first time around. And, I certainly feel like it's an advantage. I guess the best way to put it would be for myself. Just the experience you have of, you know, you have 1 year to, which is a lot of time, but then it's not a lot of time. It's kind of a funny thing.
Until it's there.
Yeah. You know, when you start out, you're like, oh, I have a year. It's okay. But, you know, you hit your six-month mark sometimes, and you're kind of thinking, all right, I need to get this done. I need to get that done. But, you know, I think the first year it really helps you just feel like you have your bearings on where you're at and where you want to be. And having gone through it once, I was able to really hone my game plan. And so, you know, I'm starting out with the knowledge I ended with last year, you know, versus this year. So, yeah, I would have a hard time saying that's, at least for me personally, that's a big advantage, yeah.
James, I have a question. I know you guys have a year, and, you know, the year always seems like a lot of time when you're 12 months out. But if you're like the rest of us, and you might be the exception to the rule, you tend to, you know, we tend to be procrastinators, so we say, okay, well, I'll start really working with that horse, and then, you know, then life gets in the way for a while, and then you get back to the horse and that kind of thing. Is it that way when you're training horses like this that all of a sudden now you're 6 months in and you've gotten 2 months of the work done you wanted to, or is it just me?
You know, if there wasn't as big of a crowd, maybe, but I always have the thought that there's, you know, going to be that big of a crowd, so that keeps me pretty motivated, you know.
Okay, so not being embarrassed in front of 10,000 people is your motivator.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and at the same time, when you try to stay true to your training principles, you know, you try to keep a lot of consistency involved, you know, because that's what brings the horse along the best. If you kind of are a little bit lazy up front, and then you say, well, it's getting closer, it's time to get serious, you're going to try to cram probably some training in there that could have been fit in a lot easier with more consistency. So just on the fact that I want this to go as smoothly as possible and show it with the best horse that I can, you know, I certainly try to stick with the consistency. And, you know, I've sort of mapped myself out every 3 months, where do I want to be? And so the key, I think, to this is break it down into small chunks and know your mile markers you want to hit, because it's really easy for that to happen. And then, oh, shoot, I'm a month behind. Let me catch it up. And you could take your horse a little bit backwards if you try to play catch-up a little bit too quick. So that's a good question, but it's certainly something I'm trying to avoid.
So
everyone fell in love in 2014 with Deuce. He was a gorgeous horse who you'd done a lot of Liberty work with. Kind of, what's he up to now? Are you using him for clinics or just teaching off him, or what's Deuce's schedule?
Sure, Doss. I'm glad you asked that. You know, if anybody is familiar with the event, they know I ran into a little bit of trouble with just some digestive issues that he had that kind of peaked at the wrong time that I didn't catch as early as I would have liked. He's an extremely sensitive and fairly skeptical horse, and he took quite a bit of time to get his confidence to come around. And, you know, but from the very first session I played with him, I knew he was going to be a horse that I keep for the rest of my life. So kind of what I did, the first month after the event, he had, I think, two rides. And that was later in the month. You know, he just hung out. Mm-hmm. We made sure he had a full recovery and was feeling really good. Since then, between, you know, training for the public and having Gus, the new wild card horse, my time isn't quite as available for him as it had been last year, of course. But that's okay. Mm-hmm. I kind of decided this year, you know, just kind of let him have. I ride 2 to 3 times a week with him. He's in a great place mentally and emotionally. You know, when I work with him, we just work on solid basics. You know, he's got an extreme amount of athletic talent. So I'm just trying not to push him. I don't get greedy with him, but I just didn't want him to go too far backwards just sitting in a pasture. So, you know, a good week would be, you know, maybe 4 rides, but usually it's 2 to 3 rides, nothing really hard, just keeping him in a good frame of mind and having fun and just enjoying life. He's a big goofball now. He loves people. And him and Gus, the new horse, they're pretty much best buds, and so they hang out a lot. So he's in a great place. And then as a 5-year-old, after the 2015 event, I'll probably try to bring him back on full time and enter him into some open classes that I kind of have my eye on. So,
awesome.
Hopefully, a good answer.
Oh yeah, no, that's great. So 2015 brings Gus, your new horse. Tell us a little bit about Gus, where he's at, what you're doing with his training.
Sure. Well, you know, it's been an interesting start with him because, you know, I started with actually a different horse that turned out to have, that was Stolium Water, very, very mild strain, and, you know, almost to the point where you couldn't tell it was there, but just given the fact that it's 1 year and you certainly want to do right by the horse, we opted to bring home a new horse, so that was about 7 weeks into the start of it. And so we drove all the way to the 4-6 ranch in Texas from North Carolina, brought him back. And from the minute I saw him, I thought, oh, my gosh, this might be the most confident horse I've ever worked with. I mean, he's just Mr. Laid-back, you know, nothing bothers him. He's just really, really friendly, easy to get along with. You know, the first week I got so much done with him, I was just shocked, and none of it was stressful, none of it was really pushing hard on him. It was just
he truly has that Texas attitude, huh?
Yeah, he sure does. Which is, you know, that's sort of where we got the name Gus, was off of Augustus McRae off of Lonesome Dove. You know, he just kind of.
Oh, really? I love
that
movie.
Yeah, that was sort of, which, you know, I'm an addict for that movie.
Oh, I never even realized that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I kind of got that. It's like if he could talk, he'd have a pretty good smart aleck attitude, but he'd still have a lot of fun being around him all the time, you know. So he's just been a lot of fun, and he's very smart. He's a little different than Deuce. He's a lot more tolerant of pressure, so sometimes you have to really kind of, you know, help him see where the lightness is, and just show him, oh, well, this will be the easier way. But as far as his confidence goes, I can't scare the horse hardly if I try. So. He's pretty funny that way, yeah.
He sounds like a perfect personality for Road to the Horse.
Well, I'm feeling pretty good on that side, you know. He's got a natural confidence, so I think for the obstacle course and things like that, you know, I think in handling the crowd and the environment, I think, you know, he'll be able to process that well. And, you know, so my main focus is just making sure I teach him to be really light to pressure and set him up to do well with some of the advanced maneuvers, which, you know, I got a couple more months before I start pushing on those. But he's just humming right along. It's just really been a low-stress thing, and he's really, really plugged right into the game plan. So a lot of folks have asked, are you worried that you got a little bit of a late start? And I said, you know, with him, the way he's gone, I feel like I'm ahead of where I'm at now with him than I was at 6 months with Deuce last year, just because of how their personality is and how easy he processes the information you present to him.
Absolutely. Well, before we head off, I need to ask you a little bit about your video library that you have on your website.
Oh, sure.
Tell us a little bit about that at coolerhorsemanship.com.
Oh, yeah, no, I appreciate you asking. You know, a lot of it's probably no secret, you know, if you're a clinician or a trainer in the industry, you try to have some support material through a book or through DVDs, and we had the opportunity to create an online video library, so we sort of bypassed the DVD route to try to bring our information to people the best way we could at the best price that we could. So it's something we've been working on for about 5 years now. We film it, we edit it, we produce it all ourselves to, you know, keep it at best cost that we can. And It's just, you know, it's it covers our program from A to Z, but it's also got a lot of different examples on different horses, different temperaments and dispositions, different exercises. Trying to give people just, you know, an encompassing resource that helps them see horsemanship from a number of different views and can be a great support for whatever their personal goals are, whether it's working with us, working with somebody else, or just a standalone learning material. So we're passionate about it. We're always adding to it. And as a matter of fact, we were able to film all of Gus's first week, and we just put that in there so folks could go in there and see pretty much every minute that I spent with him that first week I brought him home. But, yeah, we're getting really excited about it, and it's just something that we've tried to do to add to the industry and help mm-hmm. people out as much as we can.
Awesome.
Well, James, I wanted to remind everybody, too, we didn't get a chance to mention it earlier, if you're new to the Road to the Horse episode here, Road to the Horse will happen next year. It'll be in March in Lexington, Kentucky. And next year, the reason that James and the rest of the guests we're having on today are a little more motivated this year is the prize money's a little bit bigger, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. It certainly is. They pulled that string out last year. I think everybody got pretty big eyes about that.
What is it, 100 grand, Tammy?
For the yeah, 100,000. We got pretty big eyes about it too.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, that certainly would help pay for the horses for a period of time. So I understand that. Well, thank you so much, James. We appreciate you being on. We'll keep in touch and definitely keep an eye on things as we're going along.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Glenn. I appreciate it, Tammy. And, yeah, thank you for having me today.
CoolerHorsemanship.com.
All righty.
Well, you know what? And, you know, Jamie, my co-host for the show 3 days a week, would look at his videos and would say, ladies, and you can hear Jamie saying this, Tammy, ladies, if you don't watch these for the education, you just watch them to look at James. Now, wouldn't you be saying that?
Watch the scenery.
Yeah, exactly. He is certainly a good-looking guy. He fits cowboy all the way, doesn't he?
That's kind of a little weird coming from you, Glenn.
I know, but that's what I can hear Jamie saying it. I can just hear him saying it. All right, coming
right
up
along.
Next. We have another cowboy, although he has a little bit of English in him. His name is Dan Keene. He has a unique training method he calls Wenglish or Winglish. We'll find out. Originated... Well, yeah, because I'm not sure how do you say that, Dan?
Wenglish.
Got it,
Glenn.
All right, good. I did. I got it. And that's because he has a little bit of an English background, and combining that with the Western side, he came up with that. And well, I want to talk to you a little bit more in depth about that, because there's a lot more people from the English side going to natural horsemen and Western trainers and vice versa. There's a lot of guys that are doing reining and things that are going taking dressage lessons. So I want to talk to you about that because you're immersed in that world. But first, I got to ask you about you're in a movie. Tell us about that.
Well, I was in a movie called The Tree of Life with Brad Pitt. This was a couple of years ago. I was just nothing more than an extra. They dressed me up as an attorney, and I kind of made a few passes in front of the camera. But I did get to kind of rub shoulders with Brad Pitt, and I was an inch taller than him, and I felt really good about that.
He is not very tall, is he?
No, he's not. Well, neither am I, but I was taller than Brad.
Now, did you actually get to talk to him and have beers with him and all that?
Well, we didn't get to have any beers, but I did get to visit with him a little bit, and he was a super nice fellow. Yeah, it was hard to get close to him because he had security around him, but there was a time or two where we got to just make small talk, and, yeah, he was a really nice fella.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Well, how about this movie, Dawn of the Crescent Moon, I see on your website?
Oh, okay. This was a movie that was shot on a ranch near where I live, and they asked me to come over and be an extra in it also, horseback. And it was made back in the scene was back in the late 1800s, and our job as the cowboys was to run our horses wide open across the pasture shooting guns. So I was nothing more than an extra in that also.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Tammy could get
into
that.
Pretty well. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You'd be surprised how those guys, they weren't really accustomed to that. They started shooting their guns off of horses, and, man, those horses were flying everywhere. But they really felt like they were part of the cowboy life and being a real dude. So it was quite entertaining for me.
That was fun. Tammy, you would have been laughing your butt off watching all that.
Yeah, I would have. It would have been amusing for me, Glenn. You're right.
Well, now, the other thing, too, I saw on your website, because you do a little bit of everything, and I'm a driver. I host the driving radio show. And I saw local roundtop driving contest. Are you also involved in driving in some way?
A couple of years ago, I had a guy bring me two horses to break to ride, and I got them broke to ride for 30 to 60 days. They were doing real well, and he said, can you teach them to drive? And I said, we put the man on the moon. You bet I can teach these horses to drive. What's the big deal? We've been doing it for hundreds. He said, if I bring the equipment, you can do it. I said, you bet. So I got those two to driving, and he had a friend that wanted me to teach hers how to drive, so I taught two or three of hers how to drive, and they wanted me to take them to some events and just get them, you know, used to different surroundings and competitions. So, yeah, I got involved in a little bit of that, but it's not something I do all the time. I did it more for fun, and plus I needed the money, too. So,
well, yeah, that always helps.
I love to train horses, and I love to train horses to do multiple disciplines, and I did get the opportunity to spend time with a driving guy that helped me quite a lot with it. You know, I really feel like the more you spend time with different disciplines, it just helps you as an all-around horseman. So that when you do your specific events or discipline, you're just going to be better at it and more confident.
You know, people don't think about, I'm going to pick quarter horses here because that's what we're dealing with Road to the Horse, but people don't think about quarter horses when it comes to driving, yet there are a lot of many successful driving quarter horses. They do take to it pretty well.
Oh, they're easy. Quarter horses are easy to get to do that. They get their confidence high. Yeah, they do great. The horses that I started for these people were Gypsy Vanners and Shires. So they were
Which are made to drive. Yeah.
Right. They're made for it. And, yeah, they're big and strong, and I put weight on them and let them drive around and just, you know, made workhorses out of them. What was really fun is I would invite my buddies over in the evenings, and we'd hook up two or three horses to the front of a nice carriage and get a cooler full of adult beverages and hit the back roads. And, man, that was great. So I'd get my driving horses working in the evenings while we were having fun. So we'd get back and some buddies and some beverages and hit it.
You could join the American Driving Society today because their main activity is drinking and driving. So there you go. you're all set.
I'm in.
Drivers know how to party. If you ever get to party with drivers, they always have the good stuff. Let's just say that.
Is that against the law?
Only if you're doing it on the road. But,
otherwise, so as long as you stay in the pastures, you're fine.
Yeah, whether it's smart, I don't know. But, you know, it's legal as long as you're not on the road. Well, I know you didn't call to talk about drunk driving, so let's get on to talking a little bit about Road to the Horse.
Great.
Now, what is Wenglish, and before we get to that, what is Wenglish and where did that come from? How did that start? Sorry, Tammy.
Wenglish is a word that I came up. I think it may have been used in the past. Some people say, I don't know, but I grew up a cowboy working on my grandparents' ranch and taking care of stuff like that and working cows, and I was a professional team roper for a number of years, and I was a blacksmith for a number of years, 20-something years. And I shod strictly English horses, hunters and jumpers and dressage. I really enjoyed doing them. They're, to me, easier to work on, and there's just those type of people really seem to want the best, and they want it done regular, and it doesn't matter how much it costs, they will spend it on their horses. And I really enjoyed working on those type of competitive horses. So being in the English role as a blacksmith, I would get to spend time with those trainers, the dressage and hunters and jumper trainers, and I would watch them train and absorb a bit of that knowledge as much as I could, and I took it home and I used it on my rope horses. And, gosh, it just made them better rope horses. And I went from you know, getting a job done in the team roping world to really getting a job done and winning more when I had put dressage in my roping horses. And I did different things with them, like teaching them how to jump, teaching them how to do tempies, and just different types of moves. My horses got so much better, and it put me to a different level with my team roping. And then I started training and rehabbing jumping horses and dressage horses. And the next thing you know, my girlfriend talked me into putting on a pair of those tight pants, which I said I would never, ever do. But it's amazing what a good woman to do for you or get you to do. And I started showing jumping horses and winning. So I took a little bit of the cowboy spirit into the English world, and we've been having one heck of a time with it. And when I did that, it put me even to a different level. It's like it felt like someone going into a gym for the first time and has never been in there. It was a foreign world for me to step into. I knew everybody in it, but I didn't know how to compete with them as far as, in, you know, jumping and stuff. But when it all kind of fell in, it's just been a blast. So I do reining, roping, cutting, jumping, dressage, and I love spending time with people that are better than me. I just feed off of that kind of knowledge. So, yeah, it's been a great ride.
So, Dan, being so diverse, and we'll get onto your Road to the Horse cult, but what's your favorite? I mean, you've done so much of so many things. Do you have a passion for one particular activity with the horses over another?
Every day I have a different passion. It's like one day I wake up and I just feel like jumping. One day I wake up and I just want to go roping. One day I wake up and I want to go do some reining. That's a really tough question. I'd say it used to be roping. That's all I thought about. But when I started jumping, I really enjoy jumping. I just really enjoy it. There's nothing more satisfying than to take a 1,300-pound horse and you'd be able to dictate foot placement in a jumping arena when the jumps are 4 and 5 foot off the ground. And he's doing it with confidence, and he's doing it with style, and he's doing it with pretty. And I still am on him when we get done. That's the cool thing.
Yep.
We're still on. So, yeah. It's a really cool feeling. So that's a tough question. I just love doing it all. I really do.
Yep. So tell us about Ricky Bobby. Where did the name come from? Obviously, it's from Talladega Nights. Is that correct, the movie, Ricky Bobby?
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
Does he like to go fast? Is that why it's Ricky Bobby?
Have you seen the movie?
I have, but I can't remember a lot of it.
Okay,
I've hit my head since
movie,
then.
In that movie, the Will Ferrell, his big motto was, if you ain't first, you're last. So he either crashed the car or he just beat him by a mile. And in this competition that we're in, if you ain't first, you're last. So I named him Ricky Bobby. And
I love that.
We're going to shake and bake all year long.
I got to watch that movie again. It's been a while.
Yeah, you've got to watch
it. Movie.
It's the greatest, dumbest movie you've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great way to
actually.
Put it.
Yeah. So it's a That's clean funny. Movie. It's just really funny, and that whole movie kind of fits my personality. But, yeah, I should have been in that movie, actually. I would have had a great time.
So how's his training coming along, and where is he at, and what are his talents and his personality?
His personality is wonderful. It's like I feel like a father to him. Every day when I go out to catch him, he comes up and catches me. He's always looking to me for something. He's super willing. It's like every day when I go catch him, he goes, hey, Dad, what are we going to do today? That's a feeling to me. Just, it's not something you get out of all animals. Usually you got to run them down or – they're hard to catch, but this little horse, the beginning, has made me feel like I know what I'm doing. And there's not a whole lot of horses that make you feel that way, merely because there's some bad habits that they have that you have to fix, and that usually takes time. But this horse, there were no bad habits, so he got the start that I enjoy putting onto him, and his confidence got super high, super fast, and there's nothing he won't do for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and For the first 2 months, I just rode him on the ranch and just got him to going somewhere and just left him alone and just let him have some fun and got his confidence high. And now I'm starting to just kind of ease into some, you know, a little bit higher level moves, and every day just kind of get 1% every day. And, yeah, he's well, I'm super happy with him. It's like I wish all of them were like him.
Yeah. Don't
hey,
we all?
He makes me feel smart. Yeah, that's a,
I got to tell you both, because I know, Tammy, you go to Cowboy Church, right? Do you still do that?
Yes, go to Cowboy Church? Yeah,
okay.
And I'm not competing.
I got this quote for you. It was the best quote of the week last week, and you both appreciate this. We had a preacher on who runs the ministry at a racetrack in Canada, at Woodbine Racetrack. So he deals with all the behind the scenes, all the people who work at the track and, you know, really have kind of a down and out life. And he was one of the most fascinating guests we've ever had. And I asked him a question about, you know, I'm sure he gets asked all the time about picks and, you know, what horses to pick in races. And I'm going to play a quote. We're playing this all the time now. This is
See,
what
there
he
are
said.
Some horses even God can't help.
So there you go. That's the official.
That's beautiful. I think there's some people that way, too.
Yeah.
Probably more people than horses.
Yeah,
could
true.
Be. True. You said that. I didn't.
Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
I'm a little jealous that you have a crush on James, it sounds like.
that was Glenn.
What was all that about?
That was Glenn. All Glenn. Go ahead, Glenn.
No,
yeah,
that
question.
Wasn't me. I was just speaking for the womankind. I it wasn't just me.
Okay. I got you. That's funny. I thought I would bring that up.
Glenn.
Yeah, I heard you walk into that one. That was too
How did I know that was going to come up with you, Dan? How did I know? Yes. Dan, people can find you at DKHorseman.com, right?
Or Dan Keen Horsemanship.
Okay, Dan Keen Horsemanship, either way.
Yeah, I have a new website that came up not long ago, so they can find me on that.
Okay, I was looking at the old one, so I'll definitely take a look at the new one. And is your schedule on there as far as what's coming up in clinics and all of that kind of thing?
Yes, there is. Yeah, there's a schedule
okay.
on there.
Very good. Then we'll take a look at that. I noticed in that you did a rodeo and chili cook-off here recently as well. So you're doing all kinds of things on your schedule. There's all
yeah,
kinds
there's
of different
a-
events.
There's a group out of Austin called the IEA, which is Intercollegiate Intercollegiate Equestrian Association. Thank you.
Yep.
And it's junior high and high school girls that compete against one another in different regions. And I did a fundraiser for them and hosted a ranch rodeo. And it was a very successful event. And we had a chili cook-off and a band afterwards. And it was a great time, and we raised quite a bit of money for them this year. And last year was the first time I had done it for them. And last year we just we made about $1.87 clear. And this year we cleared about $3,000 for the girls. So,
oh, wow.
Hey, yeah, so it's getting better. People are hearing about it. And so, yeah, it was a great deal. I really enjoyed doing that.
Okay, I just want to clarify something. It wasn't the girls from college cooking the chili, was it?
No, this was the parent.
Oh, yeah. Good.
No, we got to involve the parent in something, so we made a chili cook-off for them, and they enjoyed it. So they were all bragging about their chili, and half of it was good, and half of it was not good. Yeah, but you know, the parents drank enough adult beverages; it made them feel like they were special. So, but we had mutton busting, greased pig competitions, and. Lots of stuff for the parents and the kids, not just for the rodeo cowboys, but everyone involved.
Well, so. Dan, we love you too. It's Dan Keen Horsemanship. Check it out online, and we'll definitely keep in touch and keep an eye on your pony as we get down the road and get close to the competition.
Well, I sure enjoyed visiting with you guys, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. And I look forward to being at the Road to the Horse with Ricky Bobby so we can shake and bake and do the best we can.
And Tammy, now this is, I'm going to give Tammy a co-host.
I can see a T-shirt
here
with that written on there, Glenn.
Yes, I can too.
Ricky Bobby, Tammy, shake and bake on the back.
I'll send you one.
I like that. There you go. Hey, Tammy, this is a co-host lesson for Tammy right now. Hold on, Dan. This is a co-host lesson. This is the point where you save your co-host and you say, Dan, and you are good looking too. This is the point where you were supposed to do that, okay? This is where you helped me.
Oh, did I miss that? That's not on my
notes,
you did. Glenn.
Yeah, you did miss that.
I follow the script.
You need to pay attention, Tammy. Keep up.
That's a good one.
Thank you, Dan.
You're on your own.
Hey, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Dan.
Go ahead. Throw me under the bus, and don't help out at all.
Yeah, and I'm going to leave you there, too. Get tire marks on your wrist.
I kept waiting. I said, surely Tammy's going to help me out here, but no, not Tammy.
Oh, no. Now I'm going to stand back and point at you and be like, oh, my God, look at what he did.
Hey,
on your own.
Let's take a break before we get to our next guest for our song. And I picked one because you guys on the Western Radio Show, episode 180 of the Western Radio Show, did an interview with a cowgirl by the name of Stephanie Quayle. Do you remember that?
Love her. Love her.
So can you tell us a little about her?
I love her. The funny thing is, Glenn, Stephanie actually messaged me on Road to the Horse Facebook, and I answer a lot of questions on there. And she said, I know you've probably got an entertainer, but I would love to sing at Road to the Horse, and I'm a huge Road to the Horse fan. And normally I get that kind of messages a lot. But this one, I thought, you know, I'm going to call her back. So I called her back. And would you believe we had a Switzerland competitor in 2014 called Antoine, lovely horseman.
Yes.
And she had actually left to go to school and sung in a Swiss band. And
really?
She knew the anthem and she could speak the language. So what's the chances of somebody messaging me for Road to the Horse Facebook that knew that could sing in Swiss and had been there, and that was the competitor we had and what we were looking for? It was amazing. So she walked out at Road to the Horse and she sung the Canadian anthem. She learned that. She sung the U.S. anthem. And then she sung the Swiss anthem. And just one after the other, knocked them out. I mean, she's so talented. It was one of those really fake kind of things, you know?
We definitely need to get her on here on the Horses of the Morning Show and do one of our special musical episodes with her because I love her music. And we're gonna play a song called We're going to play Rodeo Life, and this is off her Ain't No Housewife CD, which, I mean, you can't get any better than that for the name of a CD, right? So
we're
going to play this, and we'll be right back with more Road to the Horse coverage here on Horses in the Morning.
She woke up and put her faded jeans on, staring out the window while those rusty barrels glistening in her field of dreams. She packed up the trailer with the saddle mama gave her, put in a quarter, his name was Savior, this is her time, we're gonna watch her shine. She started raising barrels when she was 10, was the same day they said her mom would never walk again. Now she's doing this for her, she's doing this for them, cause she says her mom one day will walk again. It's a long, 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 his daddy winning, that belt buckle, he was a champion years in a row, he gave quite a show. Since his dad passed, he promised that he'd come home a winner while he didn't suffer with his family, he's heading up his house to see. He started roping cattle when he was 10, his daddy swinging ropes, he wanted to be just like him. Got a family to feed and it's not even 20 yet. It's a long, long, long road. It's a long, long, long road. You got the barrel racing ladies, the clowns in the corner, the bull riding men tonight. You got the cap roping cowboy down from Wyoming, he's come here to change his life. Yeah, dreams are gonna happen tonight. Heartbreak is gonna happen tonight. Yeah, this is the rodeo life, the rodeo life.
Well, that was Rodeo Life, and that is Stephanie Quayle, and the song is "Ain't No," it's off the "Ain't No Housewife" CD, and you can find her at stephaniequayle.com is her website. So if you want to find out more about her, too, you can go back and listen to the past episode of the Western Radio Show at westernradioshow.com, episode number 180, where Alan and Tammy had an opportunity to talk to her and to learn a little bit more about her life. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenn the Geek here with Tammy Sarantz and Coach Jen in the producer chair, and this is the special Road to the Horse episode of Horses in the Morning. Well, Tammy, while we're waiting for our next guest, I just wanted to ask you, is there anything new on the Road to the Horse front since we talked the last time? Any new developments?
No, we are about to announce our next competitor soon, Glenn. So everyone would probably want to stick close to Road to the Horse Facebook in the next week or so. I can't give you any hints, but we're going to announce the second competitor. Well, it's really the third competitor because we know that the wild card winner from 2015 is going to go through. And we have Jim Anderson from Canada who's going to be into the round pen. And we're waiting on the third one. So that's going to come up there pretty quick.
Well, let's remind everybody how it can pay to be a spectator at the next Road to the Horse.
Yes, that's one lucky fan from Road to the Horse is going to walk out with $10,000 cash. So it's going to be very exciting for one fan who picks the horse that goes all the way through or gets the highest score. I'm not Tootie was the expert on how that works, but it is going to be $10,000, and it is going to be one fan at Road to the Horse. So.
And I don't have to play blackjack or any, you know,
no,
spin the
no,
wheel.
No, I would
or,
say
no,
buy a ticket and hope it's you. I don't know what I would do with $10,000. I'd probably walk up right to the Sixers booth and buy one of the horses in the Remuda. That's how long $10,000 would sit in my pocket, Glenn.
That's probably true, Tammy. That's probably true. And, you know,
I want that one.
And some people are really, from the audience, are really going to get to participate with the competitors, too, and really become, from what she said, really become sort of part of their teams for the weekend. So it's an whether you win the $10,000 or not, there's an interactive experience going to happen with some of the fans as well.
Yeah, they won't be able to work in the round pen or anything like that.
Right,
they will
right.
be on that team, and it will get everyone involved. So it's going to be exciting for the fans. I mean, $10,000 for the fan and $100,000 for the winner of Road to the Horse, and so when you think about it, those wild cards have a pretty good shot at it, Glenn.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So, and how many wild cards are there again?
Oh, you've got to ask me that, Glenn.
There, I'd have to look at the website here quick.
No, we have Trevor Carter, and he's from Texas. We have James Cooler, who we just talked to, and he's from North Carolina. We have Shawmus, who we had on last week from Utah. He had the big ranch, remember, Glenn?
Yep. He's a nice guy.
Yep. And then Dan Keene, Mary Kitzmiller, go Cowgirls, Bobby Knight, and Sean Patrick. So that's who we've got for the lineup for 2015.
I don't know how much Mary's been working her horse because I've been seeing pictures of her on Facebook in Italy and, you know, traveling
yes.
all around the place. She doesn't stay home much, Mary.
No, I'm sure she's getting some riding down there somewhere. So, but we'll see.
Yeah, she definitely. I love following her on Facebook. She actually has great posts, and you know, she's always off doing different adventures, and she is fun to follow that way. And she, of course, she's doing clinics everywhere, So,
She's going to do clinics with Sean Patrick in Florida, so I think that's going to be some good clinics. So there's going to be Sean Patrick and Mary Kitzmiller together doing some clinics down there. So that's definitely one that I would like to go to.
And you guys have some new merchandise, huh?
Yes, yes. And actually, I took some photos of it, and I'm going to post it on Road to the Horse. You might like this, Glenn, because it's an origami horse folded in a $100,000 bill. And on the back, it says, I like to see my money running in the pasture.
That's a great horse.
We can all relate to that.
That's a great horse husband shirt. As I'm watching my little pony outside my studio window here, challenge Jennifer's horse, a much bigger quarter horse, he is always picking on that quarter horse. It just is constant. I mean, he just won't stop. So, you know, what I picture when they get to carrying on like that is a vet bill. So, you know, that's what I picture in my head. So, yes, I do see the $100,000 bill running around in the pasture.
Yes. Yeah, I'll post a picture of that. And the funny thing is, Glenn, one of the really talented people in our office, Stephen, he actually folded the origami horses. It's not Photoshopped. It's not...
really?
He created them by hand. It takes him about 15, 20 minutes to make an origami horse. It's really talented. I mean, obviously, we put the extra zero in that on $100,000 one, but... it was amazing to see. These are real little origami horses. So I went up to him the other day, and I'm like, are you really busy? And he's like, oh, no. I'm like, how long does it take you to make an origami horse out of a dollar bill? He's like, oh, about 15 minutes. And I'm like, can I have one? I want one of my own. So I'll have to check up on that. But he does a really good job, Glenn. We should bring him to the competition so he can make everybody origami horses.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You probably make a lot of money, actually. So where can they get them? When are they going to be available, the new shirts?
They're available now. They are available on roadtothehorse.com. Just go click shop and go to T-shirts, and you'll see the origami horse. And I'll post some photos and tag Horses in the Morning there, and you can see them, Glenn. So they're really cute. And, you know, every horse person has their money in the pasture or the tack room.
Well, one of the nicest things, one of the neatest things about going to Road to the Horse is the cool people you get to meet. And last year when I was there, I got to meet a family that I just kept running into all weekend and, you know, got to know them pretty well. Matter of fact, Trevor's wife, Tara, came on the show with us while we were live there and did the show with us and chatted. We gave them the best booth award because they had the nicest booth, in our opinion, there at Road to the Horse last year. They had a terrific booth. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things, Road to the Horse, I think one of those things, the reason that people keep coming back, it is like a great big family. And you talk to strangers, you get to know people. Nobody's shy about talking to you. And that is one of the things that makes it a special event. And I'm sure that Trevor Carter of Carter Ranch Horse would agree with that. Wouldn't you, Trevor?
I would. Yes, sir, Glenn. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well. And yourself, Tammy?
Oh, we're great. We're great. We're excited to have you on the show.
Oh, I'm excited to be here, too.
Well, I got to ask first, how is the wife and the little one doing?
That's what I was going to ask.
They're doing very
love the
well.
Little one.
Yeah, our little boy, William, he just had a birthday. He turned 2, and we're expecting another one in August.
Is he doing raining patterns yet, or...
He's not doing riding patterns. He's really fascinated with bucking horses at the moment. So he's got a book that has a bucking horse on it, and he hops on anything from a saddle pad to a blanket to a stuffed animal to a barrel, and he just rides until he gets bucked off. So that's his enjoyment right now.
Life is so great when you're 2.
I know. It is pretty fun. He doesn't have very far to fall on the barrel. So, but he's been riding some horses around here. We've got a little kid saddle for him, and we've been leading him around, so.
Does he have his own pony yet?
He has a few to choose from. You know, every time we ask him, he either chooses Switch, our Road to the Horse colt from last year, or we've got a 23-year-old gelding that we've had for quite some time. So everybody got shod yesterday, and he got to watch the farrier put shoes on him, and he's just fascinated with that. And he just picked every single horse lined up that he wanted to ride. So I think he thinks all of them are his.
What a lie.
Well, and I knew Tara was pregnant again, and she's due when?
The end of August.
End of that's a great time to have
that's
a baby.
That's really not that far away.
In Texas.
No, ma'am,
yeah.
No, it's closing down quick, so it'll be fine.
Wow.
Could she have picked a hotter week in Texas to have a baby than end of August?
Well, usually, you know, they say June, July, August, and then September starts to cool off. So we try to pick the last hottest day of the summer. So, but we'll be ready for it regardless of the weather.
Is it a boy or a
girl?
Know,
yeah, that's what I was going to ask,
Yes, we found out it was going to be another boy. So.
Oh,
we're
good.
We're going to have two little fellas running around.
Cool.
Two little boys.
Well,
do you have a name picked up?
Say that again.
Do you have a name picked out for the new little boy?
Yes, ma'am. We're going to call him Philip.
Philip. William and Philip. Oh, that's
yep.
Awesome.
Thank you. I'm pretty excited. We can't wait. August can't come.
Oh,
enough.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Well, Tammy, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with Trevor, with your horse. Tell us about the horse that you picked out this time.
Glenn, the horse that I picked out, his name is Royal Wall. He's by Royal Fletch, who's an NCHA money winner, and then he's out of a mare named Wall Canyon, and she's an NRCHA money earner. And he wasn't high on my list when I went in there to the herd, and, you know, I had probably three or four picked out, and you know, some of the participants, Jim had picked one, and I think another one went with Antoine, and I actually got first pick, and this year I actually drew the Joker that kind of put the switch on me last year, and so Tootie allowed me to either pick first or switch with everybody else, but we had such a nice selection of horses and so many horses, Glenn, that, you know, I just walked in there, and this horse, he just came out of nowhere. You know, my wife had been telling me about him throughout the weekend, and I'd kind of noticed him, but, you know, I was looking at the papers, and, you know, a lot of his pedigree stuck out to me, and, you know, I just went in there, and he had a look, and I picked him. So he's come along really well, and we've given him a little barn name named Sailor. It's one of our favorite hobbies. We like to get out on the water and sail around, and he just sits a smooth traveling horse and takes everything in stride that, we decided to call him Sailor, so he's doing well.
So, personality-wise, what would you equate him to?
You know, Glenn, he was pretty shy when we first got him. He's pretty leery about things. It's been really good for him to be part of our herd and just get to know some of our horses. But he's really been, you know, off to himself. It's taken him a little while for him to come around, but he's full circle now. He'll come up and meet you, and he's got a lot more personality, but just real skeptical at the beginning to where, you know, he just had a lot of trust issues and he just didn't quite know what I had to offer him. So we try to take it at his pace and, you know, I think it's really paying off.
How often do you work with your horse, with this particular horse leading up to the competition in, next year?
Well, Glenn, I try to give him every single chance I can and try to get to him every single day. My wife and I, we traveled right after Road to the Horse. We went all the way up to California, and we were on the road for about 2.5 months. So he just packed along with us, and unfortunately he had sustained an injury. And so we gave him a little bit of time off, and, you know, just he's come around fine and nothing that hinders any of his development. And I went overseas this past month and had to give him about 10 days off, and when I got back, he was ready to go. So every single day, Glenn, I've tried to give him a good session, whether it be on the ground or being ponied off another horse or just going out and riding and helping me work some of our young horses. So he's had a full workload.
With that much traveling, he doesn't have any problem trailering, does he?
No, sir, no. He
I'm
never
thinking
really
that.
Did. He loaded it better than one of our young fillies that we took on the road. She had a little bit of trouble going into a slant load to begin with, and you know, when we picked him up there at Road to the Horse, he traveled home on a stock trailer with another gelding of mine. And, you know, when I got home, that's the first thing we really worked on is loading in different trailers. And, I mean, geez, he just found that right away. And it's actually one of his strong points. He'll hunt down a trailer and hop in and stay there all day long. So he didn't have a perfect traveling.
That does bring up a good question that we never really talked much about here on the show, and that's the different types of trailers. Do you find slant loads give you the most trouble or give horses the most trouble?
Well, I think slant loads, the difficulty with it is, you know, once you close that slant, they're in an awkward position.
They're standing sideways, basically.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Not only the pressure just going into the trailer and being comfortable, then to have another wall shut up against you, I think that can be a little difficult for them. But what's nice, you know, in that trailer we have quite a bit of feed in there for them, and it's available. But I think the straight load trailer, like a two-horse trailer or an inline trailer, heck, I've even had a one-horse trailer, that's usually where a horse really loses confidence. So we had a neighbor that had one, and he let us borrow it for a couple weeks. And, you know, all the horses that we take in for development, we try to put in any type of trailer, whether it be a stock, slant load, or that two-horse trailer. And, you know, it took him about 15 minutes to figure out what all we needed him to do, and he hopped right on in. So with Sailor, you know, he doesn't care what kind of trailer it is. But I would say a straight load would probably be the most difficult one for some horses.
You know, it's interesting, too, because, you know, some people on the English side, which we've had a lot of experience with, would look at us loading our horses in a stock trailer without any dividers, and they just can't fathom that, you know?
Yes,
that, you know, they just picture the horses killing each other on the way. And, you know, sometimes you do have situations in stock trailers, but we haul ours in a stock trailer without dividers, and they seem to like it better, actually.
Yes, sir. They get to move around quite a bit. We've got a few mares that we run with a stud year-round, and we transfer them from pasture to pasture, and they all load in by themselves in a trailer. We got a large trailer to accommodate them, and, you know, if I'm taking one horse on the road, I might just pull all the slants back and let him roam around. But the freedom really helps them out. You know, they end up traveling backwards or sideways or whichever way they feel most comfortable. And, you know, I try to get a horse that's easy to catch and, you know, confident on the road that I don't have to tie him, but yeah, stock trailers, they can come in really handy teaching a horse to this trailer.
And now, so what do you do in your training after you get them initially started? Are you just fine? Are you working? Do you have specific goals that you've set out each month? Do you have a plan that you've set out each month up until March of next year? Or do you sort of take it as it comes?
Well, Glenn, you know, these first couple of months, I'm taking them as they come. You know, there's, you know, obviously a checklist that I have in my head. I want my horse to be confident. That's probably it was one of his weak points. Just confidence with new environments, and that was really helpful taking him on the road. He got to be in a different place every other week, and he got to figure out that no matter where he was, we'd still provide him with all the things that he needed. But as far as training, I like to look at it, and I try to break it down. He's got to become a good ranch horse. He's got to be able to go out and help me gather pastures, whether they're horses or cattle or, you know, work our facility here, which gives him a lot of purpose. And, you know, that comes along with everything under saddle to where he can just, you know, stand for the farrier, you know, be hauled to the vet and just be handy. But then once my horse makes a good ranch horse and understands the purpose of the maneuvers that I'm asking him, that's where I'll concentrate on some of the maneuvers that road to the horse require us, whether it be the reining pattern or trail. And, you know, they threw quite a good obstacle course at us last year, and I'm sure that it's going to be twice as hard this upcoming year. So, you know, as the competition gets closer, we'll focus more probably on some obstacles and some more refinement on some of the maneuvers. But for right now, I just want him to be a good citizen, understand what his purpose is, just to follow and be part of our herd and just be a good horse underneath me.
Trevor, before we wrap up, tell us a little bit. Everyone did love Switch so much. He was such a good-looking horse. What's Switch up to, and what are your plans for him?
Well, as I look over Jamie, he's got his head buried in some hay. He's had just a little bit of time off. He was actually a Sailor's companion for quite a while on the road. And we keep him on the road with us, and he's actually going to get shown in the next 2 weeks in Lubbock. So we're still keeping him up and trying to keep him tuned up. And like I said in the beginning, he's our little boy's favorite horse. And so Switch is still around. He's still with us. And I get to him when I'm not riding Sailor. So we plan to show him and keep him part of our herd. So. But he's doing well. Happy
awesome.
And healthy, and he's still good looking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very nice looking horse from the sixes there.
Well, now, I do have one question before we let you go, and that is, could you have picked two of the most expensive hobbies that anybody ever had, sailing and horses?
Glenn, you know, compared to horses, sailing's pretty cheap. I don't have to buy any wind out here in this part of the world. So, you know, I would say water's a little sparse, but we've had a terrific summer. We just got done with a 2- and 5-inch rain, so water comes along. But, you know, I've really enjoyed. I was raised out on the beach and on the ocean, and I got that passion from my father with sailing. So I actually got both my passions, my hobbies, from my father, horses and sailing. But, you know, when you enjoy it, I don't think you worry about what it costs. It's the enjoyment and the fun that you get from it that's more valuable than money.
And I guess
I think
the
sometimes you're reminded how much it costs.
Yeah. Thanks, Glenn.
I think more so if you have a motorboat. You're right about that. I think sailboats are a little cheaper than motorboats, which always seem to be breaking down one way or
yes.
another.
Yeah, I'm a pretty good mechanic. If there's no wind, I know it doesn't work. So.
Well, best of luck with Tara and the new baby. We'll be waiting to see pictures on Facebook of that arrival here at the end of August, and then we'll keep in touch with you about your horse leading up to Road to the Horse next year.
Sounds great, Glenn. Thank you so much, Tammy, and thank you, Glenn. And I'd also like to thank the 4-6s and Tootie for allowing us to be a part of Road to the Horse again this year.
Oh, thank you, Trevor.
CarterRanchHorse.com is where you can find all the details about clinics coming up, or if you just want to chat about your horse and maybe getting some training for it, CarterRanchHorse.com. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon, Trevor.
Thanks, Glenn. Have a great day.
What a bunch of nice salt-of-the-earth guys, huh?
Well, I was thinking the same thing, Glenn. Yeah.
I guess. That's why most of the time we work pretty well together as co-hosts, except for when you don't help me out when you're supposed to, except for those occasions.
I was thinking when you said that, what did I do wrong? No, I'm not going to help you out, Glenn. I'll be the one with that, with my iPhone taking your video going, oh, my God, I can't wait to post this.
Well, I guess that is your job, being a new media expert. You know, that is kind of your job. To make sure those kind of fun things end up
everything's
on Facebook.
Public.
You know what I hope we do, too? Let's make a point of this as we go down the line with the show. Let's make one guest every month, sort of the behind the scenes. You know, we'll take a look at the operation of the event from behind the scenes as well, because, you know, we've got judges and you got people that are in charge of the horses and the people, you know, just all different kinds of things. And we started that last time. If you missed the first episode, you can go to horsesinthemorning.com and you can catch the first episode that we did a month ago. But that'd be fun to do. I always love the behind the scenes stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the parts people don't recognize. It's a big team that it takes to put this event on, and we're all one big happy family. And so it'd be great to start chatting to some of the people that make the show happen.
Sounds good to me. Was there anything else we wanted to talk about, Road to the Horse-wise?
Nope. Just, you know, sneaking up on us. Before we know it, tickets are available. You can go to roadtothehorse.com. And like 2014, there will be a wild card competition on the Thursday before the commencement of the main event. So it's going to be exciting, Glenn, to see whether our wild card champion from 2014, Jim Anderson, can step it up and reclaim his title in 2015. So it's going to be a great year, very exciting year. More money, more people, more wild cards. A lot on the schedule.
I can't wait to see what the theme for the trail course is going to be, because last year it was like comic strip Looney Tunes kind of a thing, and it was like, this year it's going to be Harry Potter, or what's going to be?
Yeah, Dr. Seuss.
Harry
That's
Potter.
That's kind of what it was.
It was Dr. Seuss, mm-hmm. Yes, Dr. Seuss.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it
yeah.
should be Harry Potter with a train and wizards
yeah.
and Death Eaters.
I have not seen Harry Potter. I'm not on the whole Potter phobia thing. I mean,
oh, you have to get on. What's wrong with you, Tammy?
I don't
Keep up.
Get it. You know what? I hate make-believe stuff.
Well, that you're not going to like Harry Potter then.
That's why I haven't seen it.
definitely not going to like
a documentary, true life, real story, this really happened movie kind of person.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you won't like Harry Potter. Definitely not. Definitely not. Well, that's it for this week. You can find more information about Road to the Horse at roadtothehorse.com. And, of course, Tammy is with us the first Tuesday of every month. Or Thursday.
Thursday.
It's Thursday, isn't it?
Thursday.
Yes, the first Thursday of every month. And tomorrow, as a programming note for our show, Hear Horses in the Morning, we will not be here tomorrow. It is the 4th of July, Independence Day here in the United States. So we are taking the day off. So there will be no show at all, and we'll be back with you on Monday morning. And, you know, we made that a tradition when we started the show, and we're gonna continue it. So we hope that you have an absolutely terrific weekend for everybody here in the United States. Enjoy your holiday. Be safe. You know, have some hot dogs for us, and enjoy the fireworks, and put your dogs' thunder shirts on, because that –
Indoors.
Keep them indoors. Put their thunder shirt on, because it does help with the fireworks. Poor Glory over here, Mark Greyhound, doesn't get through the day, doesn't get through this weekend without our thunder shirt. So you definitely want to make sure that happens. Why don't they make thunder shirts for horses?
I was just thinking that when you said that. My horses don't need any thunder shirt, Glenn.
Yeah, no,
they're like, woohoo, we're shooting.
Shooting, fireworks, love them.
That's probably from running the gunfire.
Exactly. Do they go and they hear the fireworks? Do they go out and start doing patterns in the paddock?
Turn around the trees like barrels.
Where are the balloons? That's funny. Well, thank you, Tammy. It's good to talk to you again. We'll see everybody. You can download our app. You can find it in the App Store, iOS or Android. It's the easiest, simplest way to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network, and you can find it just by searching for Horse Radio Network in your App Store. And, of course, our website is horsesinthemorning.com for all the past episodes. If you want to get caught up, it'll only take you about a year, because we are at episode 948. So that is about 12 to 1,300 hours of programming that you'll get. But you know what? I guarantee you, cleaning stalls for the next year, you'll have something to do if you want to go back and get caught up. We'll see everybody. Have a terrific holiday weekend. And I'm actually just trying to kill time because I cannot find the closing music anywhere. There it is. We'll see you, Tammy.